Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The accommodation recognition payment, a grant available to people who offer rooms to Ukrainians fleeing the war, is due to expire at the end of March. But a number of reports have suggested that although the scheme is likely to be extended, the payment could be reduced from 800 to 600 euro a month. Well, to discuss whether this is a good idea or not, I'm joined by Tom McEnany, media consultant and founder of Effective Age Ukraine, and Pather Tobin, who's leader of AINTHU and TD for Meath West. So, Tom, this possible cut, we believe we could hear about this as soon as today or tomorrow that this cut is coming. What's your view of it?
I think it makes absolutely no sense, Claire. It seems to be nonsensical on every single ground. It's certainly nonsensical if you believe in compassion towards Ukrainian refugees and the Irish reaction to Ukrainian refugees, the response to Ukrainian refugees fleeing the war, even on the, after the third anniversary of the full-scale invasion has been one. That's marked entirely by compassion. In relation to host accommodation, we've got about 19,000 hosts at the moment, Claire, who are accommodating about 36,500 Ukrainian refugees. And they get this accommodation recognition payment, this ARP, A-R-P. It's not rent. It's just something to contribute. It's only 800 euros. It's just something to contribute to their bills. Very few of them are doing it for the money. They could make much more money by renting the room out to somebody else, not a Ukrainian
But
refugee.
Surely that's why it's not going to make much difference. If these people have opened their homes generously to Ukrainians and the money, you say...
I admire your optimism, Claire, but in a report in the Irish Times this morning, it quotes a Red Cross survey saying 86% of hosts availing of the ARP are dependent on that payment. So, yes, OK, there's a few possibilities here. First of all, it makes no big difference except that we impose some suffering on those hosts who've opened up their bedrooms and their spare rooms and their granny flats at the back of their garden, which seems unfair. The other possibility is that it works. But the best case scenario for the government is if this works, it forces Ukrainians out of accommodation, which wouldn't otherwise be available to the private sector, into the private sector, and thus sabotaging its own attempts to ease the housing crisis.
Okay, well, Pather, let's come to you on this. I mean, we know, as I said, that this decision is likely to be made or an announcement made in the coming days. Apart from that, it's due to expire at the end of March. What do you think should happen then?
Yeah, I think Ireland can be very proud of the supports that we've given to Ukrainian people fleeing the war. A total of, I think, about €250 million has been paid out in this scheme since its introduction. And Ireland has one of the higher rates of, let's say, social supports for Ukrainian refugees in the whole of the European Union. It's important to say that while this is €800 of a payment, it's tax-free. So after tax, I suppose it's worth €1,600 to the recipient. And central to AINTHU policy really is that everybody really living in Ireland legally should be treated equally. And that's really important in terms of cohesion, first and foremost. You can't have, let's say, two families working side by side with each other and one family having greater access to accommodation than the other. That is going to challenge cohesion, and it's not fair. You know, you have a situation at the moment whereby in some counties, it's estimated that maybe 10% of the rental accommodation is being used on the basis of this payment. And that is creating annoyance and anger amongst people.
But Tom says that this accommodation where Ukrainians are living under this scheme wouldn't ordinarily be available out in the private sector to other renters. It's not that type of accommodation.
Well, some of it wouldn't have been. Some of it would have been new to the market. There's no doubt about it. But other elements of it are part of the rental accommodation currently. And remember, you know, about 40% of the Ukrainian population are working. It's estimated now that about 55% of the Ukrainian population would like to stay in this country long term. If we're going to move into a kind of a new phase in relation to people living in this country, we need to make sure that everybody is operating off the same cost basis in terms of accommodation.
So are you saying that the accommodation payment to hosts should be gone altogether or just reduced? And if reduced, to what level?
Well, I think it should be reduced first and foremost. You don't want to see a situation where there's significant displacement of families in their current accommodation in the current crisis.
To how much, though?
Well, I think, you know, there's no doubt in this year it should be reduced by 200. Remember, it was designed, first of all, to end around now. So it obviously, when designed,
oh, yeah, but the war
it had an
is
ending.
The war is carrying on. I mean, it was always
it
dependent
is,
on what was going to happen in Ukraine. Tom,
it was also designed for 400 euros as well, and that's increased to 800 euros.
Well, it wasn't attracting people in at 400 euros. Isn't that why it was increased?
Yeah, but the point here is, I think everybody seeking accommodation, first of all, should have to be on the same level. I do believe that people from Ukraine who are working in this country and paying taxes should be able to access HAP and RAS in searching for accommodation.
So back in
but
the,
we can't have a
put,
differentiation.
Put them in the desperate hunt for accommodation with everybody else. Tom McEnany wants to come back in
just
there.
Can I come in on that point very briefly, if I can?
Really briefly.
Just, because, you know, I'm in my constituency office and, you know, every week so many people are in a desperate hunt for accommodation. Families are living with 3 and 4 children in one bedroom emergency accommodation all around the country. The solution to this is to get, you know, the 4,000 empty local authority homes back into use. You know, the 15.
Okay, but I want to focus on this particular payment, Tom McEnany.
Claire, can I just come back on a couple of points? First of all, it's not true. It's simply not true to say that we have higher rates than the rest of Europe. We're somewhere around the middle, perhaps a little bit lower than the middle. We used to have higher rates. We don't have any more. And also, this idea that everybody should be treated equally, I don't agree with that. I think that when it comes to two people looking for accommodation, if one is fleeing a war, and we've helped 1,224 Ukrainian women and children from frontline cities who are being bombed on an almost nightly basis, try and find a refuge in Ireland where their children are safe. It's not, they're simply not the same as somebody else who is looking for accommodation, number one. And also, if they're, sorry, just really quickly, if they're, if you're comparing them to somebody down the road, an Irish person, for instance, looking for accommodation, and they're in somebody's bedroom at the moment, which in many cases they are because of a compassionate response on the part of these 19,000 hosts, that bedroom is not going to magically become available to other people. So we're actually just taking accommodation out of the system.
But if you have Ukrainian people who have been here for 3 years and who are, as Pather said, working now, you know, and paying tax, is that not a different sort of a situation?
It is. And Pather is right that most Ukrainians are working, and most Ukrainians, even leaving aside the app, are net contributors to the Irish economy. And were they all to up sticks and leave in the morning, we'd have to replace them with people from some other country because they're essential to Ireland. He's absolutely right. And he's also right to say that we need to phase out ARP, and we need to have some kind of long-term or even medium-term solution to the accommodation for Ukrainians. But until we put that in place, Claire, it doesn't make sense to just push them out onto the street or push them out into a private rented sector where everybody listening today knows there just simply isn't accommodation in Ireland right now.
So if Ukrainians are working and are earning, should their hosts be getting this payment?
I would say so, until such time as there's an alternative accommodation. I mean, I would much prefer to see, and many Ukrainians who are working are in the private rented sector and are trying to find accommodation or are trying to develop a life for themselves. But this has made a whole section of accommodation available to people that wouldn't have been made available otherwise.
Tell me this, if they are in the private rented sector, are their landlords entitled to this 800 euro tax-free?
As far as I know, they probably are.
Mm-hmm. You can see how people can make the charge that is unfair.
But there's relatively few who are in the private rented sector. Mm-hmm. And I would say as well, Claire, if I may, that there's also an integration issue in this. We talk about refugees, including Ukrainian refugees, best practice. And it was a best practice that for some time was adhered to by the government and then it just drew it out, which was that you should have integration. It's not just about, these hosts are not just providing a roof over their heads. They're helping them to integrate with the community. They're helping them to find schools. They're helping them to get involved in the local community. If you take that away from them, you are de-integrating them, or should we say disintegrating, but you're reversing years of integration in communities.
Okay, Pather, you wanted to come back in there?
Yeah, like I can absolutely see why this would be used as a very short-term emergency measure for sure. But, you know, I know of situations where people are applying for accommodation that's been advertised and they're from the Ukraine and they're saying we can provide ARP and we can pay rent. And that gives them a financial competitive advantage over those who are maybe even working in exactly the same location as them for maybe even the same length of time now at this stage. And that's unfair. And the idea that, you know, everybody should be treated equally is wrong. That's obviously an anathema to most people. Like, equality is a key foundation of a cohesive society, and having inequalities, you literally giving a certain group of people a social advantage or a financial advantage towards what is a key need in society, which is shelter, you know, is a guarantee to create a bad feeling within a society. And, you know, I would have, like, I have a family very recently with three children with autism who are in a one-bed emergency accommodation on the fourth floor of a block of apartments. That family is in a serious emergency situation. The pain and suffering those parents are going through and the children is enormous, and they deserve equal opportunity to and access to accommodation as anybody
else. But,
Heather,
if this payment is reduced or if it's phased out, the queues that you're dealing with at your constituency office are going to get longer, because there will be people who will be put into the system, the private rental system, who weren't otherwise there.
I believe actually we should be putting in further tax breaks in relation to getting people in private homes who have who are over accommodated, maybe have too many bedrooms for their needs, and getting those bedrooms into use. We should be using every single tool in this housing emergency to get those rooms into use.
We already have those tax breaks.
But we need to be doing it equally is the key issue.
For the hosts that are looking after Ukrainians, by the way, I'd say that where there are small number of issues in the private rented sector, by all means, let's address it. But let's not destroy a system of people opening their bedrooms and their homes to Ukrainian refugees. It just doesn't make any sense. They could make much more by availing of the government's €15,000 tax-free
rent-a-room scheme
under the rent-a-room scheme. They're choosing not to, because for those hosts, and I'd say this is true for almost all of them, Claire, this is not about a financial return. Obviously, they could make a greater financial return by renting to somebody else. This is about showing compassion. This is about saving people who are fleeing a war. This is about helping children to be safe.
But it's hard to make that argument and then to say that a cut of €200 a month is going to put those hosts out of this system altogether.
I don't think it's going to put them out of the system altogether. But if you make a 25% cut, it certainly makes it much less attractive. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it's likely to have an impact. But even if it doesn't, Claire, the fact is that, is it fair where somebody has opened up their bedroom, is it fair that they should be bearing the burden? The other possibility is that you'll find Ukrainian refugees being pushed into government accommodation, like so many of them are at the moment, which is much more expensive. The ARP, this system has proven to be the most cost-effective thing that the government has done when it comes to housing refugees in Ireland.
Okay, well, look, we'll leave it there for now. Thank you both very much indeed, Tom McEnany and Pather Tobin. Thank you for being with us.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.